Good morning and welcome back to Condegrees and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today. Glazer from Glazer and Sachs PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. And he's been the hot commodity in the last couple of weeks. His firm has attorneys in Fort Lauderdale and also Orlando. We're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy or, dare I say, dangerous from 1 minute to the next. We'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions, no matter where you are in the state. Give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Contact Us tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website. As Karen said, condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. By joining each week, you can get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. And, of course, our blog can be found every Monday morning at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, the state of emergency is over, and it's back to the way things were. Or is it? Okay, so we talked about that a little bit last week on the show, and we'll talk about it tomorrow morning in our blog.
And as another week passes, the Champlain Towers tragedy continues to dominate the news, and you continue to become the expert go-to guy for all the major newspapers and television networks. It seems that there's certainly going to be a change in the law when it comes to the requirement to find to fund a reserve account for future repairs.
Yeah, no two ways about it, Karen. As you know, USA Today really wrote about me last week, a fantastic article, that I warned about the dangers of inadequate reserves in May of 2018. And, you know, ironically, it's about the same time that engineer was advising Champlain Towers South that their building needs millions and millions of dollars in repairs.
Oof.
Yeah, and I wrote about the dangers facing condominiums all over the state because of the ability for owners to opt out of reserves.
Yes.
And I implored the Florida legislature to get tough when it comes to reserves and make them at least partially funded to be mandatory. And, you know, we know that as a result of the tragedy in Surfside now, the Florida legislature is really going to be forced to look long and hard for the first time at making condominium residents, forcing them across the state to put money away for major expensive repairs or to continue to allow many associations to ignore repairs and keep kicking the can down the road very dangerously.
Yeah, they can keep opting out of that, but then when they have a special assessment, they have to pay it.
Absolutely.
So, and then Charlie Crist got rid of the law that said every 5 years they could have someone inspect the building instead of just waiting for the 40-year inspection.
Yep, bad move.
But even after this terrible tragedy in Surfside, are there still going to be the people that you think will fight against mandatory funding for reserves?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these concrete restoration repairs that we warned about, you know, they're going to be needed at Champlain Towers. They're going to be needed during the 40-year certification process. And even though these repairs are going to be necessary, I can tell you that you're going to have developers who are going to stand in front of the Florida legislature and tell you with a straight face that having reserves in the mandatory reserves in the budget, it's a violation of the people's right to freedom of contract. Let them do what they want to do, and they'll do it with a straight face, knowing that unit owners kick the can down the road every single time, especially in 55. And they're only saying it because if you're going to include mandatory reserves for developers and include mandatory reserves in budgets, then it's going to be harder to sell condominium units.
Of course.
Because the real amount, what unit owners have to pay, are going to be included in their new budget. And you know what? For the first time, some people are going to realize maybe they can't afford to live in a condo, and it's going to make it very hard to sell units.
But it's like the reality of it, right?
Yeah, it is the reality. Look, Karen, you're going to pay it now. You're going to pay it monthly. Or you're going to pay it later, no?
Right.
Isn't that the bottom line?
I need to know up front, and I think buyers are becoming more intelligent about this.
No question about it. You know, let me say this. You know, I know this is going to sound unpopular, but if action isn't taken now, it's going to result in much bigger problems of people losing their homes later on, like you say, because of the special assessments, Karen.
Yeah.
So like it or not, some form of reserves has to be mandatory, and not subject to being waived, and that's the bottom line. There I said it. We can even streamline the way reserves are calculated. You know that ridiculous life expectancy formula that the state says you should follow, but nobody does? Well, first of all, nobody does because the law that you're talking about, Karen, was repealed.
Right.
Those reserve studies were supposed to be done by professionals. But instead of it being done by professionals, it's done, like we said last week, by Sam the Butcher.
Yeah.
Right? It's a total joke.
And
right.
then the people that own these places, they're not even from this country, some of them. They're like, well, I don't want to pay this.
Exactly.
They ignore the danger, like cigarettes don't cause cancer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we all know the truth that the life expectancy of a roof, somehow it gets longer the closer you get to the original estimate,
right?
5 years ago, it had a five-year life expectancy. Money's tight. So today, starting today, it has a new 10-year life expectancy.
Yay.
Like fine wine, right? The roof is getting better with age.
Oh.
And we all know that that happens in every condominium. It happens every day.
Yeah. Can we review what you said in May of 2018?
Yeah, sure. It's exactly the warning that I gave to Floridians all over the place. I said, let's make things simple. Let's just say every condominium has to contribute 10% of its annual budget to reserves for roof, plumbing, electrical, structural, painting. It all goes into one pot, and it could be used for any repair necessary for those categories. But the bottom line, 10% at a minimum cannot be waived. And if an association wants to contribute more, they can.
Otherwise, you think a financial crisis is coming, right?
Absolutely. No two ways about it. You know, if we implemented this, I'm guessing the average monthly increase for most condominiums that are not already reserving funds, the average person would have to pay somewhere between $25 to maybe $100 a month. And I know that increase is not easy. I get it. But it's going to be a lot more expensive if any of these inevitable repairs become necessary and it's time to pass a special assessment because there's no reserve funds. Now think about this. God forbid two of these items need repairs, right?
Yeah, then
It compounds it. And I think it's easier for a person on a fixed income to pay an extra, you know, $50-$100 a month than it is to come up with a special assessment at some time for maybe look at the Champlain Towers, $100,000. Think about that.
If for each unit. And so when people don't move into these places because the real amount of money it will cost to live in them, then the people that are in there are going to be stuck with the bill. It's just going to be there's going to be a lot of empty buildings, don't you think?
No two ways about it. And again, I think mandatory reserves, it's going to do more good for senior citizens than harm. You know, no question about it, because mandatory reserves, even for modest amounts, bottom line, a necessary evil. And I say it because I see the handwriting on the wall. And everybody, I think, sees the handwriting on the wall. Buildings are getting older. Unavoidable repairs are coming up. Hurricane seasons are becoming more active with the potential to cause catastrophic results we're seeing.
Right.
And let me tell you, I've been to meetings. I've been to condo meetings. I've been to board meetings. And I see the fear on the faces of senior citizens now, right now, when they're faced with small special assessments.
Yeah.
You know, they're petrified over a $300 special assessment, a $400 special assessment. But what I don't see is sound financial planning for the inevitable. And I don't want to see people, especially the elderly, losing their homes when they don't have the money to pony up and fix their homes when a major special assessment comes their way because a major repair is needed. And Karen, those major repairs are coming.
It's
unavoidable.
It's inevitable. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and especially like in a 55 and over, they keep kicking that can down. It's going to affect some senior citizen
At some point, some senior citizen is going to be living there when the repair is necessary. So, you know, when I sent out this article in May, I begged the Florida legislature to step up to the plate, do the right thing. And I ended it by saying, you know, this year the Florida legislature, they looked into the future. They envisioned that in the next decade we're going to be driving electric cars, right? So Florida legislature stepped up. They passed an electric vehicle statute to deal with that issue right now.
So they were proactive and progressive on that.
On that issue, right. And they took care of it before that issue got out of hand. So I'm asking them, do the same thing now.
The building may be, fallen, but you've still got the plugs
sitting in the parking lot. Yeah, but exactly. But I'm asking the Florida legislature to do the same thing. Protect people from losing their homes over the next decade or two by ensuring that the condo has a big piggy bank to shake loose.
And you've been quoted as saying if they don't do something, the blood is on their hands.
Absolutely, and the blood is on their hands. You know, if they don't do something, if they don't force condominiums to start putting money away, the Champlain Towers incident is not going to be the last one. And again, this was written the same week that the engineer gave a really bad report to the owners of the Champlain Towers, and I shared this blog with the members of the Florida legislature. No action. you know, now we have 150 or 120 people that passed away in the Champlain Towers. And unfortunately, it takes a tragedy, and hopefully reserves are going to get the attention that it actually needs. But let's do this. I'd love some senior citizens to call and tell us what you think. You know, maybe you're on a fixed income, and you know your building needs repairs, but you also don't have the ability to contribute more money each month. What's the solution? Let us know, all right? Give us a call in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day, from renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo, and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to Condo Crazy. Grays and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He specializes in community association law. He is board certified in it, so he is the guy that knows pretty much everything you need to know about living in a condo or HOA or co-op. So give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, calls all over the map. Let's start with Celia in Miami. Good morning, Celia. Celia, you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have two quick questions. I live in a condominium, and the board, we have a meeting tomorrow, and they said that they're going to have, at the end of the meeting, a private meeting without unit owner attending, and the reason is for personal matter.
Right.
I would like to know if it's legal. And if yes, what is personal matter?
Okay, so no one really knows the answer to that question. What in the world is personnel matters? But I can tell you what the purpose of the statute really was. The purpose of the statute is to give the board some discretion to have a closed-door meeting when the circumstances call for it. For example, let's say there's an employee on the payroll that is not doing a good job, and the board really wants to fire that employee. So the law would allow the board to meet with that employee privately and fire that employee in private so that the person doesn't have to be humiliated in front of the entire community.
I think she misconstrued it and thought it was personal matters.
Oh, no, no. It's personnel matters, not personal matters. Personnel, meaning that people who work, when involves matters, for people who work for the condominium. Then you can have a closed-door meeting. Okay?
Okay. Okay, so the second quick question, we have also tomorrow a special meeting of the membership. They send us 60 days before the paperwork to vote to change some governing document.
Okay.
But when we went to the special membership meeting 60 days later, they decide that they didn't have enough vote returned by the unit owner, so they couldn't get a yes. So they push it to 36 days. So now it's 96 days compared to the date on the paperwork.
Understood.
That we received. Is
okay.
It legal?
Yes, it is. That's a good question. So oftentimes boards try to get things done at a membership meeting, and let's say you need a certain number of votes and in order for something to pass, and you send out proxies for unit owners to vote, right? And they return those proxies, and the proxies are supposed to be counted on a specific date. But if you don't get enough proxies, like what happened here, the law allows the board to adjourn, to lawfully adjourn the meeting for an additional 90 days out. Okay, so they could have gone out another 90 days. You're saying they only went out about another 30 days. Perfectly legal.
Yes.
And those proxies that they have still count for up to 90 days after the first meeting. So that's why they did it, Celia. And yes, so far both things perfectly legal. Thanks for the call. We got to keep moving. How about we go to Hyde in Boca?
You
got
it.
Hyde in Boca?
Hyde in Boca.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sure can.
Hello?
Yep, good morning.
Hi, I have a quick question. My heart goes out to the Surfside people, I got to say.
Absolutely, thank you.
But my question is different. I sold my condo about 10 days before that happened.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm not getting the deposit for the keys that I returned to the common area that is standard procedure. And I'm just wondering, what can I do about trying to get my key deposit back? They've written a check, they said. It's in a lockbox, but the board is not approving it, and it's been 6 weeks.
The board is not approving the return of your money?
They haven't approved it, and that's what the property manager said.
I don't know.
I'm just wondering, how long should you wait, and then what can you do if they don't approve it?
I don't know what your rules and regulations or what your governing documents say. I don't know why they charged you a key deposit, and I don't know what rules they made when they put this key deposit rule in effect. Does the rule itself say that when you move, you're entitled, you know, I guess, to the money back in a certain way, and that's why they call it a deposit?
No, when you return the keys, like
right.
some people don't need the keys anymore, and they return them,
right.
they have to pay money to get the keys.
Right, what'd you pay?
And then when they return them, they get that money back.
And what do they owe you?
They owe me $50.
You know, it's one of those things where you can't hire an attorney to write a letter for you, right? Because the attorney is going to charge
right.
you more than,
and they know
more than
that.
And they know it. That's exactly right, Karen. They know it. So I would write a letter to them by certified mail, return requested, you doing it, telling them if you don't pay me within 10 days, I'm going to hire a lawyer. And the case, instead of going for $50, you can put two more zeros on it.
But you can bet that if she didn't return the keys, they'd be after her.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to write the letter by certified mail, return receipt requested, warning them that if they don't return the money within 10 days, you're going to file suit and or file an arbitration action, because I got to think whether or not this case would go to arbitration.
And then they would have to pay for that eventually?
And then they'd have to pay, if you win, they'd have to pay the $50, interest on the $50, court costs, and your legal fees. So they shouldn't let a $50 matter turn into a $5,000 matter pretty much overnight, okay? So warn them about that, okay? Thanks for the call, Heidi.
Yeah, I used to be Thank you.
How about we go to, was it Eve in West Palm Beach? We lost Eve.
Oh,
we
no.
got Karen in Hollandale.
Karen.
Hello.
Hey, Karen.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. My question, the owner receives a letter of a special assessment for an unapproved loan in excess of $600,000. And they said, the board said, that this is for the 40-year when there was no 40-year filed in the 11 years prior to when it was due. So the application for the concrete work was missing the blueprint and a complete contract with all blanks filled in. This included over 80 balconies to be inspected before the permit was finalized, and there were no signed, sealed, notarized inspection notes submitted before the city closed out the half-completed permit. So can the city be sued by the owners, or can the insurance company be alerted by the owners for both the D&O and property insurance carrier?
Are you saying that the 40-year project wasn't actually completed properly?
Correct. The city, the owners went to the city to find out if the city had the proper documentation or paperwork that needed to be submitted.
Right.
Such as the blueprint, the contract from the, you know, the plans for contract from
Karen, hold on. What they need is a report from an engineer that says the structure of the building is fine and that the electrical system is fine, that they're both in good condition. Does the city have those? That's what I need to know. Period.
They never submitted that. That's mandatory by Broward County to
right.
be submitted for the 40-year. So the owners are paying this, but and the work is done. The permit is closed, but there's no how do the owners know that they live in a safe building when
okay.
the protocols that are in place were not taken?
I would write a certified letter, return receipt requested, to the city of Hollandale, right? Asking for proof mm-hmm. that your condominium passed the 40-year recertification process, right? Any documents mm-hmm. that support the fact
I did.
That you're building.
I emailed them. We have over 15 emails, and they're stating that there's no 40-year safety inspection report that was submitted, and that there were no blueprints submitted. So they're, you know. They're telling me that they don't have this paperwork.
Okay, so then I'm assuming that your building still owes the city a 40-year recertification. Bottom line, right?
That's,
are they still asking for it?
That's what I'm assuming too.
Yeah. So I don't know what your board did. I don't know, you know, who your board hired. But if they hired them to do the 40-year recertification process, and there is no documents with the city that says you passed structural and you passed electrical, then I don't know what in the world you paid for, but it certainly seems that it wasn't for a
right.
40-year recertification. So, yeah, hey, give
right.
us a call
so
in the office.
They sent,
Karen,
sorry,
give
they
yeah,
sent
no
the
problem.
Mailing out.
Yeah.
they send the mailing out telling the owners that this is a 40-year certification, but it's not.
But it's not. I get you.
The owners contact or alert the D&O insurance or property insurance carriers to do something about this, because right now the board is not moving on anything.
Yeah. Well,
it's required by law, though, so that's going to catch up to them.
Absolutely. But it seems like, you know, you and some of the owners need to get together, hire counsel, and figure out what in the world happened here. That's why I think your best move is, instead of, you know, respectfully chasing your tail, hire an attorney, move forward, get the right answers, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the call, Karen.
You got it. Bye-bye. Let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Keep the calls coming, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face-to-face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If your association has ever been through a major restoration or renovation project, you know it can be a complicated, expensive, and stressful undertaking. Noise, dust, unexpected problems, and that C word no one wants to hear, change orders. But it doesn't have to be chaotic. DSS Condo is here to help you through the condo project management process. Most projects go over schedule and over budget. Without an expert, independent advocate in their corner, associations are exposed to cost overruns, low quality results, and long-term disruption for owners. DSS Condo is Florida's leading association project management firm. They provide tailored, expert construction management services for all types and sizes of association projects, helping you maintain control of the chaos. DSS Condo now offers customizable project management packages that can be modified to meet your association's needs and budget. And now services Miami, Broward, Palm Beach, and Collier counties.
Contact DSS at 305-985-3772 or by visiting dsscondo.com. That's 305-985-3772.
Back in the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL, Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. He's board certified in community association law, and no question is too small for Eric Glazer. The number to call, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Hey, Karen, have you been thinking about changing your name lately?
No, I'm trying... After the Karen and the Victoria's Secret gave us all a really, really bad name now?
Well, apparently the liberals have turned the name Karen into something bad. What's going on?
It's like a racist thing. There's like a million Karens in the United States, and as evidenced by the last call, there's a Karen.
Yeah.
but it's become actually a racist term for women.
Terrible.
who we ask for the manager, and we're racist, and we think that, we're usually white and born in 62. And,
yeah. Yeah, and you're such a Karen.
I'm such a Karen.
That's become the phrase now.
I try to get you to, go ahead and set up a class action lawsuit.
Representing all Karens. Right? Who do we sue? That's the question.
TMZ, I think, is the worst offender.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's see what John thinks. John and Dania, how are you, John?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Real quick question. Submitted official records request to my board. It's an HOA. And as expected, they have not responded within the time frame set up by the statute. So a second letter goes out giving them 5 days. Does that also go out certified mail return receipt requested? In that letter, I would say, you haven't responded. You have 5 days to respond, or.
Yeah, or, what you need to do is in the or, I guess that there's no more right to arbitration in failure to provide records. I mean, it stinks for HOA owners because here you are, you're entitled to the records, you gave them the right notice, you gave them a follow-up notice, and you know what your remedy is at this point, John, unfortunately? Pre-suit mediation. Your records request issues are required to go to pre-suit mediation. So think about this. They're required to give you access to records according to the statute, right? You gave them two shots at it, right? And notwithstanding the fact that they're not complying, your only remedy at this point, go to mediation. Think about this. Pay half the costs of the mediator. Pay for your own attorney, right? And now for $500, you'll get the records. That's how insane it is for unit owners in an HOA if they don't get records. And you know what? HOAs know that. Boards know that, and potentially they could say, what's he going to do, spend all that money to get access to the records? And they know, knowing that a lot of people are not going to follow through. But now condo
will they be forced?
Yeah, no, they're not going to be forced to pay your attorney's fees. The only way they get forced to pay your attorney's fees is if you can't settle at mediation, and then you wind up litigating the matter, then the winner gets all the fees. But if they say at the mediation, okay, here's your records, so it just cost you $500 for the records. Now, unit owners in a condo have a different story. Unit owners in a condo, if they don't get access to records, they send one more warning letter saying, if you don't provide me access, I'm going to be taking you to arbitration. And you file your arbitration action, an arbitrator is going to rule for you, give you your filing fees back, penalize the association, up to $500, right, for failing to give you access to the records, and force them to pay your attorney's fees. Okay, so condo owners get that relief. You, as an HOA owner, you get nothing. You really are put through the mill, and you are even required now to go to pre-suit mediation. It's almost like a lose-lose if you're an owner in an HOA. But that's the way it is, John.
Okay, thank you, Eric.
Okay, you got it. How about we go to Jay in West Palm Beach?
Hi. Yeah, how do you bring a lawsuit? I found something out a while back that if any person, any man that tests that on a home pregnancy test, it says he's pregnant, it means he has a urinary tract infection.
What are you talking about?
No, it sounds funny as hell, but COVID-19, it showed up in this guy, and he tested that he was pregnant. So he has a urinary tract infection, and because 10 years ago, when I had a urinary, I was peeing my brains out, it went directly into his DNA code. That's why they didn't find out to now.
I have no idea why I'm letting this call go on, but something in me is just letting it go. I don't know why. Finding it slightly fascinating if the man came back pregnant. I guess I'm just trying to figure out if he really
was.
You're
saying that COVID messes with your fertility?
I have no idea. Jay, I suggest sober up and give us a call later on. Thanks for the call, Jay.
It has something to do with condos.
I have no idea what he's talking about, but how about we go to Donata in Miami?
That was good.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hey, Donata. How are you? What's going on?
I'm fine.
Yeah, we treat urinary infections and pregnancies now. So
in men.
Go ahead.
In men.
What do you got?
In men. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's possible.
And what does that have to do with condominiums anyway?
I have no idea.
Eric, a lot of people don't vote for reserves because they want less money for the board to steal.
That is a great point.
A lot of people don't vote for reserves.
That is a great point, and I read that yesterday in one of the articles, might have even been the Wall Street Journal, that some people don't vote for reserves because they are afraid by giving the board a really big amount of money, there's going to be a lot of money that potentially can be stolen.
That's tough. Wow.
Now, the only thing I can tell you is, you know, I'm doing this 30 years, and in the boards, unfortunately, have a stigma attached to them that, quite frankly, isn't true. Now, in 30 years, I've been around how many thousands of associations. And I can tell you, in those thousands of associations, there is only a handful of times, that board members were arrested or got caught for taking money. The majority of people serve on the board.
That's because most of them don't get caught, Eric.
I'm not going to take the position that most board members are in it for stealing money. In my opinion, not the case. Are there a few bad apples that are board members? Of course, but guess what? There's a few bad apples that are attorneys that steal money from their trust account. There's a few bad apples that are doctors that get caught with Medicare fraud. And there are, unfortunately, a few bad actors that serve on board of directors and take money that they're not entitled to. But I don't think the percentage of board members is any worse than in any other category, quite frankly. So, and by the way, the difference here also is in a condominium or HOA, the association is required to have insurance that covers funds that may be stolen by the board. Right? You're always required as a condominium to have an insurance policy in effect that covers all the money that you currently have, including reserves. So I understand people's concern about giving the board a lot of money to play with, potentially steal. But if they steal it, bottom line is there's an insurance policy there, and there must be an insurance policy there where you get the money back. But Donata, I completely understand where you're coming from. I respect the call. I respect your opinion. Okay? How about we take this final break of the hour. Keep the calls coming in to the very end. Do not wait. I hate when
the
show
the
ends and there's calls in a hold. So keep them coming in. 877-850-8585. 877-850-85. Back right after this.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700. Or visit the website, cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? DMI Paving and Seal Coating can help. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is the largest seal coating company in the United States, an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let DMI Paving and Seal Coating pave the way and make your community look great. At DMI Paving and Seal Coating, they believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, condominium and hotel associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is a LEED accredited Green Advantage certified environmentally responsible full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. DMI Paving and Seal Coating serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call today for a free estimate, 800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. Or visit DMIPavingandSealCoating.com.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Some pretty wacky calls this morning, Eric.
Yes, if you're a man and pregnant, let us know about it.
If you have a urinary tract infection or COVID, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Right.
Apparently
phones.
He called back, by the way.
Oh, please. No, we're not taking that call again, ever. How about we go to Salvo in Lighthouse Point?
Yeah,
Salvo.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
A very quick question. We have our 40A coming up, and from my inexperienced eye, I can see a lot of trouble. What happens if I can't afford the $10,000-$11,000 that I would have to pay?
I get
you
out
see,
now,
and
right?
This, and, yeah, and this is what people are going to be facing. See, here we go. Salva, would you mind if I asked you, are you a senior citizen? Are you on a fixed income?
Yes, sir, yes.
Yeah, and there's going to be tens of thousands of people just like you, if not hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Of people. Karen,
yeah.
I want everybody to really think about this phone call,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Think about this woman on a fixed income calling in now and saying, what's going to happen to me when I can't afford a $10,000 or $11,000 special assessment? You think Salvo is the only one in this boat
nope.
that's calling in?
Nope.
There's going to be hundreds of thousands, maybe millions actually, of people calling in like Salvo, just like her, that's saying, she's telling us right now, I can't afford the special assessment that's coming, right? Salvo, you know, I hate to tell you this, but hopefully your association can maybe get a loan. So instead of paying the $10,000 or $11,000 in one shot, right,
yeah.
you can pay the $10,000 or $11,000 out over a few years. Some boards don't want to do that. Some boards don't want to take a loan out. Some boards say we don't want to carry debt for many years. So we're not doing it that way. We're passing a special assessment. And it's due immediately. And Salvo, unfortunately, if you can't pay that special assessment, you know, I hate even saying this, but the association can file a foreclosure action against you.
Then it's harder to sell your place.
Yeah, and have you have your property sold on the courthouse steps. So if you know that this is coming and you know you're not going to be able to afford it, you know, one thing to do is exactly what Karen just said. You may want to sell now, move into a building that's only at the 10-year mark.
My question, Eric, is a lot of these people that are in 55 and over have reverse mortgages.
Yes, that's right. But
still,
the association can foreclose on it.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you don't lose anything.
You're going to lose your unit if you don't pay one way or the other.
You'll lose your unit, but not your money.
Right. Well, you're not going to be able to. Well, it depends how much equity you have in your property.
Right.
It may depend. But the bottom line is the association is going to sue to foreclose, and they're going to get paid, and whatever is left in the court surplus, you would be entitled to that.
What if she reverse mortgages?
Either way, the property is going to be sold.
But she'd get the equity out of it.
Yeah, even if she has a regular mortgage, she'd get the equity that's remaining.
Oh, okay.
But she'd have to go to court and ask for the surplus. But she's still going to get kicked out of her home. Think about that.
I know. Yeah.
You know, Salvo. I hope that answers your question. Unfortunately, but you're not alone in this regard. You're going to have a lot of people faced with this problem as they approach 40-year marks and major repairs. And unfortunately, your building apparently didn't put away money for a rainy day. And that's why you're being faced with this problem now. And that's why I'm urging the Florida legislature to wake up and listen to Salvo's call. This is a problem that's going to affect so many people around our state that I warned about 3 years ago. But, and here we have it. Here we have Salvo telling us.
Is the board supposed to notify the residents when the 40 years coming up, like give them a warning?
Yeah, they're going to let them know that the 40-year inspection's coming up because we need to hire an engineer to do the 40-year inspection.
Okay.
The engineer is going to tell us what we need to do, and we're going to need then potentially a contractor to make all the modifications. And, yeah, they're going to know. They're going to learn pretty fast just how much money they're going to have to come up with. Salvo, did that answer your question?
Yes, unfortunately, yes, you did.
Yes, unfortunately, right. You know, again, maybe you want to get out now and move to a place that's...
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, you have a good day.
I mean, how does someone find out when the 40 years is going to come up? Maybe it's like in 10 years, so you can plan for it.
You can find out if you just do a search of your declaration of condominium.
Okay.
Just look at page one. It'll tell you when it was recorded.
Okay.
And you'll know. You'll have a good idea. Anybody on the board should be able to tell you how old the building is.
Got it.
But just, that's, Karen, that's one phone call out of, potentially, more than a million people that could be facing Salvo's problem because people didn't put away money for a rainy day.
And then forget about rent. Rent is going to go up, too.
It's going to go, absolutely. Absolutely. How about Brent in Tampa? Good morning, Brent.
Hello.
Yeah, Brent, good morning.
I have a question about HOA law, Florida Statute 723.16.
Okay.
Emergency power.
Yeah, the emergency power statute. Yep.
Yep. So in January, February, our board canceled a meeting of members and the election just because they could under the emergency order.
Right.
And it's not happened yet. They've had every board meeting, special meetings.
Right.
They've never closed the pool or the clubhouse or the playgrounds for one day.
So what do you want to know? What do you want to know? When they should hold the next election?
Well, the board members, its term was up, and they're still remaining in control as board members.
Okay.
So what's the legality of all this under the 723?
Great question. And we spoke about this on the show last month. When you look at your bylaws, when does it say your annual meeting is? When is it supposed to be?
It'd be February.
February. Okay. So there's no question about it. That's still a long time away. That's more than 6 months away, right? So I said, last month I took the position, and this is just Eric Glazier's position. If your association's election, according to your bylaws, is at least 6 months away, you should be going through the election process right now. Right. So your association should start the election process right now. And then they're going to have to do it again on February 15th, according to your bylaws.
Because they've lifted the emergency order.
They lifted the emergency powers. There is no more emergency powers in effect. Your board hasn't had an annual meeting in over a year. I think they need to go through the process now and then go through the process again in February. Now, my answer would be different if, let's say, you called me and you told me that the annual meeting is supposed to be in September. Well, obviously, I'm not going to tell you do an election right now, and then again in September, because they're going to be too close by the time you send the notices out. That would make sense. But yours is far away. So I would take the position that your association absolutely needs to do an election right now. Start going through the process immediately. Okay?
I'm not sure if you understood what I said, or if I'm understanding what you're responding, but this was last January, February, they canceled the 20.
Yeah, we get it. I get it. No. I understand. They didn't have one. So, yes, they're still on the board. Those are still the present board members. But it's time to have another election immediately. That's what has to happen going forward, okay? How about we go to Abby in Hollywood?
Good morning, Eric. I'm very sympathetic about the situation with condos, but I need to change the subject a little bit.
Sure.
We're an HOA and very close to turnover from the developer.
Yep.
And we only have one resident member on the board. The developer has two.
Yep.
The developer went ahead and ordered our engineering review for the turnover without telling anyone, including our resident board member. I want to know if that's pretty sneaky and what we can do about it.
Well, the developer has to give you guys at turnover an engineer's report from the developer's engineer, not from the association's engineer. Okay? The developer should be paying for that. Not only that, the developer should be paying for an audit, right, from day one up until the time of turnover at the developer's cost. Now, what date is turnover for you guys? What day?
They're saying maybe December or January.
Okay, now you got to be really, really proactive on this because the most important time for somebody to be on the board is at turnover, because once turnover happens, the clock is ticking on your statute of limitations to go after the developer if the developer, let's say, owes the association money. That might happen. Or the developer has created has defects in the construction that they built. Are the homes built properly?
Yeah.
You have a clubhouse or any amenities? Those need to be checked. And it's up to it's the job of the new board of directors to go and hire a structural engineer. Perhaps, you know, it depends how many what type of facilities you have, but you certainly should hire a structural engineer and perhaps other engineers to determine the condition of your property.
And an attorney.
I mean, it's so important for you guys to be represented at the turnover meeting to make sure that the developer turns over all the documents that the developer is supposed to turn over, an audit, an engineering report. Yeah. All those things got to be turned over. And then, even when they're turned over, you guys got to hire your own engineers, your own experts, to see if they agree with what the developer's experts say, right? The developer's audit going to say the association owes the developer money, and certainly you're going to get a report from your auditor saying, wait a minute, that's not true. As a matter of fact, the developer owes the association money. And then, you know, usually there's negotiations and settlements in that amount. But the most important time, quite frankly, the scariest time to be a board member, no question, at the time of turnover. You want to be represented at that meeting in advance, okay? So make sure you do that. Very, very important, okay?
Is it usual, Eric, that the developer owes the HOA money rather than
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes that happens. Yes, sometimes the developer took money that should be absolutely going to the association. For example, if there's a cable contract, right? The developer gave let's say, Comcast the cable contract, and Comcast in return, they gave $50,000 to the association for being nice enough to give them the contract. Well, where does that 50 grand to? Does it go to the developer, or does it go to the association? Sometimes the developer takes it where it was actually made payable to the association. So these are, you know, other things you want to look at. Did the developer pay all the bills, or did he leave the association with unpaid bills? You want to make sure that didn't happen. So the most important time to be on a board and to be represented by counsel, unquestionably at the time of turnover. So be careful, Abby. How about we go to Danny in Sunrise?
Hey, good morning. Let me start off by saying great news. I am not pregnant. I took a test.
You did?
Yes,
so
good.
I just wanted you guys to know and celebrate with
you.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
I'm so glad. You're probably
if
relieved.
If you do get pregnant, you let us know, though. Absolutely.
Big story.
Thanks, Danny. What's going on?
So the second question is, Eric, I work and serve as a CAM in a condo association where there's something interesting that I want to see if there's a loophole getting around or what you recommend. So this community has about 90% investors, and the docs say that all applicants for a purchase, by the way, it doesn't say for a purchase, it says all applicants must go through screening. In this particular purchase deal, there are four members of a corporation. Now, we've asked for submission for background check and all applicants to apply. One of the four does not want to, of the foreign investor, does not want to submit a application and or a background check, which is obviously it's a little bit of a yellow flag up front.
Right.
So here's my question. They said that they were going to change their corporate docs at Sunbiz to reflect only the three that will do it, leaving the next guy out. But once they go through our process, is there anything stopping that once we approve and they're in and the deal goes through, that a month later they add our person to the corporation again, and now he's a sort of an owner of the asset that that corporation holds? Is that a loophole?
It depends. It depends what your documents say. Right. Do your documents and I got to tell you, the documents probably don't say what you think they say. I'm saying it respectfully. People think that, you know, all occupants got to have to be background checked. Your documents probably don't say that. Read them carefully. You know, what do they specifically say that every single occupant who's 18 or over must go through the background check? Or does it say, you know, applicants must go through the background check? Now, because that's a big difference.
Is
applicants. So if he's not an applicant anymore, right, he doesn't have to go through the background check. And if he doesn't have to go through the background check and he's simply a guest, right, a guest of the of the corporation, then guess what? He just skirted the rule. But it's not his fault.
Okay.
It's your document's fault. So you got to be careful, and associations get burned by this all the time. You want to make sure that not only the applicant is getting screened, but all persons who will be occupying the unit other than a guest need to be screened. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you, guys.
Have you got it. Thank you so much for the call. And, guys, even though we got calls on hold like usual, that brings us to the end of the show. Great talking with you every week. It's actually an honor. If you need help off the air, please give my firm a call, Glazer and Sachs, during the week, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. And we'll speak to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m. here on Condo Craze and HOAs. Everybody have a wonderful, safe week. Take care.